Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply.
Hi, yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 280 is going out to Jalen Green. If you don't know why, then you're going to have to listen to episode 279. It's a very weird, weird call-up, but there you go. Jalen Green, Houston Rockets. Not a big fan of his, but you get this episode. Thank you for listening to the podcast. This is not a Jalen Green appreciation podcast. It's a MMA Gambling Podcast. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, and we are going to break down UFC 283. The main card, the first pay-per-view card of 2023 for the UFC going down in Brazil this Saturday. We will get you all the picks for the main card. We will get you our lock, dog, and prop picks. Gumby's forced me to pick dogs and props. And then Gumby will give you a two-fight parlay, which will win you at least 10 times your money. And you hit a couple within like the past year or so. So you'll definitely get your money back on this at the very least if you play it every week. And it's called the Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. If you don't know, get in the Discord and you'll find who Jong is. All right. Last episode. If you want the prelims, you have to go back an episode and hear why Jalen Green got the shot out. And you'll hear 10 fights previewed on that card. It was one of our old school style cards, episodes that went on forever. So this one should be a bit more quicker. We got just a pay-per-view portion going down. Let's bring in Gumby, the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
You got through that intro real quick. Yep, I'm gonna slow things down a little bit for people. Even though we've got tons of stuff to get to, I meant to mention it on the last episode, but you guys, if you are not already in the Discord, get in the Discord because you can also get into our prop contest, our first quarter prop contest that we are running, where we're giving away three different prizes, but adding up to $200 worth of gift cards to the SGPN merch store. You can find it on our Twitter or in the Discord. Like I said, all you got to do is pick a prop that's plus 200 or better, and you have a chance to win. And of course, there's all kinds of little side prizes and stuff too. You're going to want to check it out. Last week we had 50 plus people enter and only one person hit their prop. So don't let that
shout
guy
out
be
to Dredney.
Yeah. Shout out to Dredney. Don't let Dredney be the only one this week. Go challenge him this time and, get your, plus 200 props in order.
Could be. That's an early contender for episode title. Don't let Dredney be the only one. Stop Dredney.
He can't be the only one.
He can't. And shows how professional I am. I forgot to totally mention that last episode. I was supposed to be steering the ship, and I forgot to mention our prop contest. Dan, shame on me.
That's okay. I've mostly been running the show on that prop contest, so that's on me for not promoting my baby.
Yeah, it's on Dan. It's true. He set all this up without even telling me in advance. What do you think
of that? So you guys are welcome. I'm giving you guys gift cards, and what's Jeff giving you?
But yeah, nothing. Quality comedy is what I'm giving you. But who's going to listen to the prelim portion and not the main card portion, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Sometimes the prelim portion does get higher. the prelims do get higher downloads sometimes, which confuses me. I'm like, it's interesting. But anyhow, as long as anyone's listening, we're happy. So, all right, we're going to jump into things. Thoughts on the pay-per-view? It looks like a quality pay-per-view.
I think it's great. There's intriguing title fights. There's like wily veterans trying to stake out their spot. There's the hardest fight I've ever had to handicap. And I do say that actually truthful. This is the hardest fight I've ever had to handicap. And we're going to kick off the show with it.
Really? We're going to kick off the show with it. All right. Let's do this. Light heavyweights. It's going to be a crazy one. Hopefully it's a crazy one. Paul Craig versus Johnny Walker. Actually, I was going to say he's Brazilian. It should be Honey Walker, but no. It's not an R. And he's Irish.
Do you know what do you know what his real first name is?
Yeah, it is something weird, isn't it? I can't remember.
It's Walker. His first name is Walker.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's got one of those like 33 part Brazilian names that, you know, we hear all the time. But the real first name is Walker. It's Walker Johnny da Silva Barra Souza. So his name is Walker Johnny, not Johnny Walker.
Wow, really? So we wondered why. We thought, wow, his real name is Johnny Walker. That was
no. Yeah.
Go figure, Dan. Well, we can just end the episode right now. And just drop knowledge on you. Usually it's Nick. I guess this is kind of a nickname type of thing for you. We know Paul Craig is the Bear Jew. We've not really found out why, have we?
He has not told anybody.
He keeps that, which probably isn't a good thing. Or it's probably a good thing that he doesn't tell anyone, because there's probably something unbecoming behind that nickname. But nonetheless, it's from a movie, is it not, the Bear Jew?
It's from Inglourious Bastards, yeah.
Can you believe that? Yes, you can. You can believe it.
Yeah, you don't watch any movies.
Apparently not. You've seen it, correct?
I have seen it, yes.
Yep. All right. Let's break things down on the Bear Jew, Craig. Paul Craig, or Craig Paul. Is his real name Craig Paul? Everything is confusing to me now.
I think it's Paul Craig. I think his name is not fixed.
Okay. He is 16-5-1, 3 knockouts, 13 submissions. I didn't realize he finished all of his opponents, but he has. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 1 time. He's 8-5-1 in the UFC. He's gone 5-0-1. Actually, that can't be right. He's gone, 5-1-1 over his last 7 or something like that? He did lose his last fight. I had him at 5-0-1. I did shoddy research here, Dan. Anyhow, he's also got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Yes! The Scots have mantles. He is a pro grappler. He's been outstruck by 0.32 strikes per minute in the UFC. He's at plus 160. I'm going to grab his record here now. He's gone 4-1-1 over his last 6 fights, is what I was trying to tell you. All right. Walker Johnny, 19-7, 15 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 5-4 in the UFC. He's won 1 of his last 3 and 2 of his last 6. He did win his last fight via submission. 1-0 in contender series, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Because Irish Brazilians have mantles. Used to fight at heavyweight. 3 inches of height, 6 inches reach over the Bear Jew. 5 years younger than him. I probably shouldn't say that. That nickname sounds bad. Anyhow, striking and active striking stats in his favor over Craig. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.62 strikes per minute. Minus 195 on Walker. Yeah, like you said, this is a wacky fight to break down. Because he really don't know what you're going to get with Johnny Walker. You pretty much know what you're going to get with Paul Craig, but he does occasionally get beaten and surprise you. I'm going to go with Walker. I'll go with the much, much, much bigger guy who hits a lot harder. And let's hope he's got the grappling to fight off Paul Craig.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Johnny Walker too, but I'm just going to say this straight up. Don't bet this. Don't bet this fight. And I know, you know, our shtick is $100 on every money line, no matter what. Don't bet this fight. I can't stress that enough, because like the thing about Johnny Walker is, right, like as long as he does what Volkan Ozdemir did and just backs out of any grappling exchange and throws hands, he should knock out Paul Craig with no problem. Yeah. Additionally, anytime Paul Craig comes into a clinch and is trying to pull guard or do anything like that, he can knock him out from there. Because that's the other thing, is he's got power in close range like that. The problem is I've also seen Johnny Walker shoot a bunch of takedowns recently.
Right? Yeah. Like
his last fight, he just decided he was a grappler. Now, he was a good grappler, so who knows? But, like, in theory, shouldn't he just stand and trade with Paul Craig? And then on the other flip side of things, Paul Craig said in a recent interview that he thinks he can knock Johnny Walker out. So, like, it's not like I feel good on the other side of things either. Like, it's just the worst game planners or the weirdest styles, and they're clashing together. Johnny Walker's impossible to figure out what he's going to do next. Paul Craig, you know what he's going to do next, but you just don't know with what kind of skill or what kind of, you know, game plan he's going to put around that ultimate goal. So, yeah, I don't like this fight at all. From a capping perspective, from a watching perspective, I bet you this is going to be absolutely ridiculous to watch.
Yes.
And I'm going to enjoy it immensely, but I'm going to go Johnny Walker here.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say it's going to be good necessarily, but it's going to be ridiculous. That's for sure.
It's going to be good in the way that you're like, I'm happy I watched that.
It's true. You also will be happy when you head on over to WinBet. That is a smooth transition that I messed up by talking about how smooth it was. WinBet is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WinBet is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. And the NFL playoffs are here, and Gumby's happy because his boys look good on the weekend, did they not?
They look fantastic.
That Dak guy really stuck it to old Tom Brady, didn't he?
He sure did.
Yep. WinBet, great promos. They won't stick it to you. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WinBet. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, get $100. Whew, I didn't mess it up this time. Limited to state availability. And, of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. $1,000, everybody, free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WINNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Whew. All right. Let's get into things here, shall we? Actually, we already did. Let's get into another fight. What are we moving to next, Dan? As I miss
women's flyweight.
Yes, women's flyweight. Jessica Andrade versus Lauren Murphy. As Dan said, flyweights. Oh, Lauren Murphy. Dan's one of Dan's MMA wives is fighting finally. It seems like she's been up forever. She hasn't really though, has she?
No, I don't. I think she fought fairly recently, didn't she? When she beat Misha Tate, she beat the tar out of Misha Tate back in, I want to say, August.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right, let's do this. Lucky Lauren Murphy, 16-5, 8 knockouts, 1 submission, but knocked out once, 8-5 in the UFC. She's won 6 of her last 7. Her only loss was to the champion, right?
That's correct.
Valentina Shevchenko, who will be fighting Alexa Grasso next. That's just a placeholder fight, right?
Yeah, until Aaron Blanchfield or Talia Santos gets their shot.
Yes. Murphy did win her last fight, so she bounced back. As Dan said, she beat the, what did you say she beat out of Tate?
She beat the tar out of her, I think I said.
Or the living tar, or I thought
it was something to that effect.
Anywho, Murphy used to fight up at bantamweight, 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, 3-0 in Invicta, and the champion there. What do you think about Invicta last night? What a card, eh?
Great card.
Yep. Lots of, especially when that person beat the other person. Wow.
Yeah.
She is a regional champ, Murphy. 2010 Pro MMA debut, 4 inches height on Andrade, 5 inches reach. She's been struck by 0.61 strikes per minute over the course of her UFC career. Not very good. Not horrible, but not great. Plus 375 is the number on her. So very good number if you want to bet her. Andrade Bata Escoc. I don't know if you...
Bata Esteca.
Esteca. I almost said cock. Escoca. I just did say cock. Which means what? Beta Es... What did you, how do you say it again?
Pile driver. Bata Esteca.
Right. Bata Esteca. Pile driver. And that's a very good nickname for Andrade. 23-9, 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. Knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. 14-7 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight fights and 3 of her last 4. Used to be the champion. Used to fight at strawweight. That's just insane thinking about that, but it wasn't that long ago. She used to fight at bantamweight. That's insane too. That someone that small used to fight at bantamweight, but she is a pile driver. 2011 Pro MMA debut, 8 years younger than Murphy. 1.6 times more active landing strikes. She's outstruck his UFC opponents by exactly 1 strike per minute. Grappling stats in her favor, minus 510.
I'm going to go with Andrade.
Yes, that's right. Murphy's your girl. That's
I do really like Lauren Murphy. Here's the problem. I just think, like, she's got so many advantages over so many women in this division in terms of like how she can be physical and how she outworks people in the clinch and like the way she like comes forward no matter what. And all of that sounds like a freaking nightmare against Jessica Andrade, because Jessica Andrade counters with a mean overhand. Jessica Andrade in the clinch is miserable to grapple against. I think Andrade has got advantages in the takedowns and everything else. So yeah, like I'm going to go with Andrade here. I'd love to see Murphy prove me wrong, but I think this is a bad matchup for her.
Yep. Andrade is just too good. Still, haven't really seen any slippage yet in her ability. Murphy is game. So it's going to be hard to probably put her out. Maybe this is Andrade via decision, but Andrade, the pile driver, is the pick at -510. We love our -510 lines, don't we?
That's only the third biggest line we've taken.
I know. Yeah. There's some lines that are either razor close or they're way, way, way in the opposite direction this week. Kind of like, wasn't last week's event like kind of like this too, I think. And there was some wacky lines too. Well, not wacky, but all over the map lines. All right. This is our last non-title fight of the event. Welterweights, Gilbert Burns versus Neil Magny. A couple of veterans going at it. The Haitian sensation, Neil Magny. You remember his real full first name?
It's Antoniel.
Antoniel Jacques Magny. But you can call him Neil with an I. He is the Haitian sensation, as I mentioned. 27-9, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted 5 times. 20-8 in the UFC. So he's been around in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, 6 of his last 8. Won his last fight via submission. Used to fight at middleweight. 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. 2010 pro MMA debut. 5 inches taller than Burns. 9 inches reach on him. 1 year younger than him. Striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.35 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor as well. +340. Dorino is Burns' nickname, which means?
Little tough.
Little tough, correct. Dorino.
Because his brother was Dorodoro, which means tough.
Tough, tough. Yeah. Who was his? Herbert. Herbert's Dorodoro?
Nope. They're older not brother. Right. They've got an older brother. Is Dorodoro.
Yeah, because Herbert, I would say that nickname does not fit after that performance.
Correct.
Dorino, 20-5, 20 wins, 5 losses, 6 knockouts, 8 submissions, but knocked out twice. 13-5 in the UFC. He's got a win-loss over his last 3. But he's at the point where he only fights the top of the top at this point. Used to fight at lightweight, which is kind of surprising. He's a big boy. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's a grappling champion multiple times over, like at a world level kind of, right?
He's a pretty damn good grappler.
Yep. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by a quarter of a strike per minute, so 0.25 strikes per minute. -460. Give me Dorino Burns. I know there's a massive striking reach differential, but there's also a massive power differential here in the striking, and he can have his way wrestling with Magny and grappling if he chooses to as well. So I think he'll be able to get past the massive reach and size advantage here, and give me the powerful Burns to win.
He did largely against Khamzat, right? Like that. Yep. That's what gives me so much confidence. Is like, this is a guy who's coming off of, you know, his 2 losses are to Khamzat and to Kamaru Usman. He largely outstruck them in moments, right? Like he won that first round against Kamaru Usman on a lot of people's scorecards. You know, he was right there with Khamzat for that whole fight. And Khamzat didn't want to grapple him. I don't think Neil Magny is going to have a choice. I think he's going to wind up on his back in this fight. And if he doesn't, like, I think Burns will do well enough on the feet here. Does it justify -460? Maybe not. Like, I think this fight's probably a little closer than that. But yeah, if we're picking a winner here, it's Gilbert Burns.
And all we do is pick winners around these parts. So Gilbert Burns is the pick here. What are we going to move on to now?
Title
fight time. Let me see. This one is part 4 of it. All of them were for the title too, which is something you never, never ever see. Have we seen 4 fights? Tito Shamrock was 3.
Well, Tito and Chuck, if you count out Chuck, the like, me, yes. if you, you count that weird one outside of the UFC when they were both in wheelchairs, but
yes, the wheelchair fight.
Yeah, but like if you, I largely don't count that one. Tito's still 0-3 against Chuck in my book. So,
did we come up for an idea for Dana White's next thing after slap fight?
Wheelchair fighting?
Wheelchair MMA, yes. Maybe.
Maybe we.
There's a chance, you're saying?
Maybe we'll have to ask Netscat.
Yeah. All right. Flyweight championship. It's almost time to say goodbye. The way I'm talking, this is for the flyweight championship of the world. Technically, it is a unification belt. Brandon Moreno is the interim champ. Divicen Figueiredo is the real champ. These guys have just been swapping titles back and forth as it's been recently. Anyhow, so I have these odds flipped around, unfortunately, because they have been flipping a lot. I'm gonna tell you about the challenger first, Moreno, the assassin, baby. I think it should be assassin, comma, baby, but it's not. 20 wins, 6 losses, 2 submissions. Been knocked out he's knocked out 4 people, submitted 11 people, never been finished in a fight. 9-3-2 in the UFC, used to be the champion. He's gone 2-1-1 over his last 4 fights, and 5-1-1 over his last 7. Almost all of those were against Figueiredo. Won his last fight via DKO. He was 0-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Oh, I forgot. This is his second kick of the can in the UFC because they wrongly cut him loose and they brought him back, luckily. Used to fight at bantamweight. 2 inches taller than Figueiredo. 2 inches of reach. 6 years younger. Striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.25 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor as well. Minus 120. Daiko Dois de Guerra Figgy Smalls. He's got 3 nicknames, Dan.
Sure. Yeah. I've never heard anybody actually use Figgy Smalls except for it to be funny.
What does Daiko mean?
I don't know what Daiko means. Deus do Guerra is God of War, I know.
Yeah. Correct. Let's see. I'm going to Daiko in English. I'm probably saying it. I'm butchering it too. No, I don't have a meaning for it. Free Spirit? No, I don't know what it means. So, anyhow, call him anything you want. You can call him Divicen as well. He is the current champion, and he's 21-2-1, 9 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time, 10-2-1 in the UFC, 6-1-1 over his last 8. Been the champion 2 times over, including now, 1-1-1 against Moreno over their career. This is the rubber match. Definite rubber match, hopefully. I guess they could draw again, right?
I guess they could.
It could be a draw or no contest. And so it's never, nothing's ever definite, I guess, in this world. That's my philosophy to give out to you today. He did win his last fight. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck by 0.26 strikes per minute in the UFC, plus 100. This one was a pick-em. Now it's the money's come in on Moreno, which is, am I picking first?
Yeah, you're picking.
Yeah, which is where my money's going to. I bounce back and forth on this. I decided to go with the assassin baby in this one. I think grappling was when I was like digging into their grappling performances and their stats and whatnot. I think that was what kind of swung it for me. And he's also way younger, which does matter. But at this point, this one is razor thin between the two of them as 1-1-1 records between the 3 fights they've already had proves. But I'm going with Moreno right now. And Dan could probably be more eloquently tell you why he's taking Moreno as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do like him because of the grappling advantages I see he has. Like the submission in their second fight still like looms large in my head is one of the reasons that I like him. The other thing I will say is just like that fight against Kakara France for the interim belt showed that he's like making steps forward with his striking. Like I think he's closed that gap of being, you know, previously it seemed sort of like, you know, Moreno was the dangerous grappler with like some striking skills and vice versa for Figueiredo. And now it seems like he's closed the gap in the striking quite a bit. And I'll also add in too, you know, a lot of people have kind of, you know, knocked the fact that he's no longer able to work with James Krause and that was his coach. But like, I actually think he looked better before he moved to James Krause. You know, maybe his worst performance of those 3 was the one under James Krause. So he's now working with a couple of different coaches and at the PI, but I believe Saif Saud is going to be in his corner, which is huge for me, especially in terms of like game planning and knowing wrestling and making sure that he's like doing the right thing at the right moment. So, you know, all of those things bode well for Moreno. It's such a close fight, obviously, where you don't get to a 4th fight without these 2 being close, but I do slightly favor Moreno here.
Yep. There you go. Moreno is our pick. And good talking about the coaches, because I totally forgot about that. That is the
that very weird thing, but, situation.
Yeah, but he's kind of bounced around already and doesn't seem worse for wear as it is. So, all right. He being Moreno. Let's go to our vacant. So we have a flyweight unification bout, and then we have a vacant light heavyweight championship. Strange circumstances, strange matchup. Glover Teixeira versus Jamal Hill. I don't think we had Hill pegged as jumping into a title fight this soon, but here he is. We'll tell you about the former champ first. Teixeira, 33-8, 18 knockouts, 10 submissions. Been knocked out three times, submitted once. 16-6 in the UFC. He's gone 6-1 over his last seven. He did lose his last fight via submission. Used to be the champion. That was the bout that he lost. That's a tongue twister. Used to be the Shudo champion as well. He was 3-1 at WEC. WEC never died. It's been a while since I got to say that, because those fighters are few and far between nowadays. 2002 Pro MMA debut, grappling champion. As well, he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.13 strikes per minute, so almost a wash there. His grappling stats are better than the Hill's. Shock. Plus 110. Sweet dreams, Jamal. Don't call me Jamahal. Hill. He's 11-1 with one no contest. Knocked out seven opponents. He's been knocked out himself once, but really he got his arm, or was his arm, his elbow dislocated?
Was mangled, I think is the right word.
Yeah. He had a mangled arm, and who was the horrible ref in that fight that didn't notice that his arm was dangling?
I want to say Mark Smith, surprisingly.
He's not that great. I'm not a big fan of him. But and then you got, technically he got TKO'd by Paul Craig, but really he got submitted. 5-1 with one no contest in the UFC. He's won three straight fights, all via knockout or TKO. 1-0 in contender series, was a regional champion. 2 inches taller, 3 inches of reach on Teixeira. 12 years younger, striking stats in his favor, and he's almost two times more active, landing strikes, 1.7 to be exact, than Teixeira. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost three strikes a minute. Elite level striking here. 2.95 strikes per minute is the strike differential. Minus 130. Go ahead.
I'm going Glover.
I know.
Yeah, and I said it earlier. Like, I just don't. Man, I can't see Hill staying on his feet long enough to do what he needs to do against Glover. And in, it's worth mentioning, Glover is durable. Glover is a tough guy. He took Jiří Procházka's best shot multiple times and was still there. He was still there fighting until he was utterly exhausted at the end. And it's also worth noting that, like, Jamal Hill has given up a lot of takedowns in his career. Like, he gave up 6 to Thiago Santos. And I don't know about you, but I just don't think of Thiago Santos as being like a strong wrestler grappler. And if you go back earlier in his career, he gave up a bunch of takedowns to like some lesser opponents too. And, you know, he's gotten better since then, but you know, the fact that those takedowns are all still there for Thiago Santos means they're probably there for Glover. Glover's a much better wrestler. And I also think just like, it's impossible to get up from underneath Glover when he's got you down. So I got a hard time believing that Jamal Hill is going to keep his feet long enough to land that knockout punch, and that Glover isn't going to see it coming. So, yeah, give me Glover Teixeira. I think he gets it done with the sub here.
Yeah, you know I'm going the other side of that for sure. So I'm going Hill. I got to take a guy who was way bigger and younger and hits like he hits and is just a very good striker, as the stats show. Teixeira did take everything Jiří threw at him, but that's could be one of the reasons to worry about him, because that was his last fight, and he's 43 years old now. So he's coming off a grueling fight where he got battered. The grappling obviously is a concern, and this could go this pick could go down the tubes very, very quickly if Hill gets taken down, if and when. I guess it's not if, it's when. When he gets taken down, if he has a knockout to share before then. Nonetheless, I am taking bigger, stronger, way younger, better striker. But this is a toss-up, very close odds as well. I could see, you know, it could be Hill via knockout, or it could be Teixeira via submission. I think both those are reasonable guesses here.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you could. There's other possible outcomes here too, because Hill was a little bit more careful in his last fight with Thiago Santos, which is sort of why I'm fading him here too. And I think Glover, like if he just came out like a crazy man throwing haymakers, like sure, maybe one of those lands. But like the more cautious approach, I actually think winds up getting him taken down here. So it's going to be a good one regardless. It will be a fun fight to watch.
Yes, sirree. All right. We are not done. I'll recap again what we have here, and then we'll get you some of our special picks. The main event, Teixeira for Dan, Hill for me. We both, in the co-main event, we both have Moreno. We both have Burns. We both have Andrade. We both have Walker. So we're almost pretty much on the same page here. All right. It's lock, dog, prop time. I think you let me go first last week, so we'll let you pick your lock first, and then I'll go after that.
All right. For my lock, I'm going to take Terrence McKinney. I know that really,
yep. the number is just too good.
Yeah. And I think the number is good. And I will also say this, like, I think people are overestimating Bonfim just based on his name. I will say the other one who I was thinking about picking, as my, lock of the week was going to be, Gabriel Bonfim. Like I had him as like my 1A pick. I actually thought you were going to take Gabriel Bonfim, but Terrence McKinney, my lock of the week.
Yes, for sure. I was thinking about Bonfim, but then the McKinney number is better. And I obviously I know more about him and I have faith in him getting the job here. So Bonfim is their pick. All right. I have to go with a underdog now. Do I? Did I have any? I don't have any in the
main card. You have lots of under. Oh, not in the main card. You're right.
Not in the main card. The prelims. Yeah, prelims, I went crazy. Which one do I feel best about? I did go a little wacky with some of them. I guess Marcos is probably the safest one. Daniel Marcos in the curtain jerker plus 130.
Yeah, I'm going to take Marcos too.
Boring.
Yeah, I know. We keep doing this. We both had Bachara and Damon Jackson, which obviously the Damon Jackson one didn't work out. But yeah, no, I like Marcos quite a bit here too. You know, I thought about Glover, but that one's like we've talked about, like a little bit more variable. I also thought you were going to go Shogun there, surprisingly.
I'm not totally sold on that one.
All right. So, all right. Well, the only thing we differed on last time was the prop, and that's what that gave me the victory. So I'm going to hopefully get it again this time. I'm going to take for my prop, I'm going to say Gilbert Burns versus Neil Magny goes the distance.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even going to get real picky on who wins. Like, I think Gilbert Burns probably is the clear-cut winner. The odds are just like not juiced up that much extra to pick Gilbert Burns by decision versus just picking it goes to decision. So I'm going to sort of like cover my ass here anyway. And Gilbert Burns, Neil Magny goes to decision is plus 110, which a nice little number there.
All right. What is Jelton via TKO or KO?
Oh, I have that right on hand. By TKO is plus 250.
Oh, really? Okay. Give me a... What's via finish? How much better is that?
Via finish, it's like negative 155.
Okay, no. I will take TKO or KO plus 250, you said?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think he's was the first half of my Hungry Man Jong parlay.
Oh, well, let's go. Let's get right into it then. What's your Hungry Man Jong parlay? Two fights to win us big money. Hopefully Dan's not talking because I ripped out my earbuds, so I wouldn't hear him anyway. Okay, now you can talk.
Yeah, my first part of it was I was going to take Jelton Almeida by TKO or KO plus 250, mostly because, first of all, Dirk Himov is lost by ground and pound a bunch of times. It's totally possible that Almeida goes in there thinking submission and winds up with a submission anyway. He's shown that he can TKO people too. He did that with Danilo Marquez. And so, like, wouldn't totally shock me if he just let the hands go here and got the TKO at plus 250. I definitely think it's worth a stab. And then the second half of that, I'm going to take Glover Teixeira wins by submission. If he wins, it's probably going to be by submission. So to see that at also plus 250 seems kind of wild.
Yep.
So when you pair those two plus 250s together, you get plus 1125.
That's how the math works, does it? All right. That's how the degen math works. So, all right, let's recap. We both have McKinney for our locks. We both have Marcos for our dogs. And then Dan for his prop. He's got Gilbert Burns, Neil Magny going to the distance. So a decision there, plus 110. I have Jelton via TKO / KO. Yeah, I'm not even thinking about it. He could just finish him on the feet as well. I'm thinking it's going to be ground and pound, but not necessarily.
Yeah, I do think it's probably going to be ground and pound, but you're right. Like, he could just outbox him.
Yep. plus 250. So that's a juicy number that could help get me ahead of Gumby overall for the year. And then Hungry Man Jong, Superfan Parlay, two fights. Almeida via knockout / TKO. Teixeira via sub plus 1125. Boom. We did it. That's it, right?
That's it.
It seems like nothing compared to yesterday's episode seemed like it went way longer. Hey, we got lots to talk about. UFC's giving us a pay-per-view, and then they're disappearing again next week, sadly. But Gumby's got lots of plans for us. Don't worry. We will not leave you hanging. All right. Before then, though, we'll be back Sunday to recap how we did and everything. Maybe we'll talk a little. Actually, Monday, we'll probably talk about Invicta, which happened last night. We kind of talked about it today, though. So in the meantime, definitely get in our Discord, especially with the pay-per-view coming. It should be jumping. Lots of people talking about the fights at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. And then we're in the fights channel in there. There's channels for everything. And we're lots of fun people in every channel in there. Twitter, SGPN MMA. Gumby runs that. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. If you haven't already listened to the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, he, being Gumby, interviews two people on this fight card on the prelims, which we covered yesterday's show. Thiago Moises, who Dan picked against, shame, and Daniel Marcos, who he picked. And we both just picked again now as our prop bet, or underdog bet, excuse me. All our writing and all our podcasts and all our giveaways and all that fun stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com and the SGPN app. Make sure you get that. And at the very least, get into my free pick'em contest that I'm running, giving away $70 from Engage, which is a MMA gear and what else is it? It's MMA. It's an MMA store for clothing and whatnot, and also a technical gear and just street clothes as well. Sponsors basically all the big Australian fighters like Izzy Adesanya and the like. So get in my moneymma.substack.com, enter the pick'em contest. Maybe you'll win some gear. And that is, I think, is that everything, Dan? Is that it all?
That seems like it all.
Is that it all? I can't talk at all. So it's time to say goodnight, Dan. Go ahead.
All right. I'm Dana Gubby Vreeland. He's Sweet Dreams, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.